know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And we do so with the man who joins us most every Tuesday right here in this 11 o'clock hour. His name is Brandon Kyle Scott.
It is.
I did not know it was Kyle. I learned that today.
And, Brandon Kyle.
I immediately went and doxed you on the radio, so I apologize for that, but obviously not too much because I still did it.
Nah, man, that's my son's first name. I got the compromise with the wife back then of, hey, I don't like juniors, but we can name him Kyle. We can give him your middle name. So, yeah, now I actually wear Kyle proudly now because it's my son's name. So
how'd you get Kyle?
I rock with it. I'm honestly not sure. I know my first name came from some kind of soap opera star. I forget which soap opera it was that my mama was watching at the time. Yeah. But there was a soap opera star named Brandon. She liked it and she went with it.
All right.
Mamas used to be crazy back in the day. Yeah. They would name their kid after any celebrity or D-list celebrity.
She had two soap opera characters that were named Brandon and Joshua, and she went with Brandon.
All right.
I don't know which soap and what the characters were, but yeah, that's what she, and how Kyle came through, I don't know. Yeah.
If you know the soap, 713-572-4610, help our guy.
That's true. I'd like to know.
I should see her later on in the day. I'll figure that out.
Very good.
Which soap opera were you watching? Named your whole child, and only child, by the way.
Oh, wow.
I am her only child, and she named me after some fictional soap opera guy.
Well, if you do get to the bottom of that, I am now, for some reason, intrigued. Not just for that, but where Kyle also came from. So if you circle back with those, I'd appreciate that. All right.
The Brandon Kyle Scott Communication Center or newspaper newsroom at Sam Houston State University.
I like that. You want the something academic like institution.
Something like that.
That's a good look. We were talking about it off air that we feel like you would be, of all the personalities at Sports Radio 610, you'd be the second most likely to actually get that done in a community, like some community-based, because your tie to Hyrum Clark is so strong.
Yeah.
Only problem is that I feel like I could easily see a Clint Sterner recreational fields happening in Baytown. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's just...
Yeah, I feel like Clint and Seth got to be the leaders in the clubhouse just based off of their athletic accomplishment alone. But yeah, no, I've done some community stuff. I could get something named after me in Huntsville or in Hyrum Clark or Stafford. That's another place where I spend a lot of time. Yeah, man, it could happen. I'm not, but it is rough to think of yourself in that way, right?
That's right.
You're just trying to do the things that would, you know, on the back end get you something named after
you,
but not with the motivation of they gonna name the so and so after
you. That's right. Around the NFL, rookie minicamps, kind of those types of things are happening. I don't know. Have you guys seen the talk that has been coming out of Jags minicamp?
Travis Hunter?
That's right.
Routes. Yeah.
That's right. Travis Hunter.
Run routes.
They started him. Sorry, OTAs is what I should say. And him there in OTAs, there's been a lot of social media activity, let's say, discussing the idea that, hey, Travis Hunter's routes, not looking all that pretty. Now, of course, this isn't based off of, like, I think the entirety of OTAs, just a few routes. Do you guys make anything of this? Because I know for me personally, I was like, wasn't that one of the things that we had on him coming out, is that he's very raw, but he's just really talented?
Yeah, it's not like you learned anything. And it's routes on air. Like, yeah, okay, you'd like for it to look better, but it is going to look different against competition. But like you said, that's part of the scouting report. The raw athleticism and just sheer ability, the fact that he doesn't necessarily have to be as precise as others because he is just that special, I think, is the whole intriguing part of him. So no, I am not moved by watching him run poor routes on air. Now, if he turns out to not have, let's say, the type of rookie season that you would expect for a talent like that, maybe it's something to put a pin in, but no, I'm not too worried.
I think it's something to monitor. You know, once you get to this level, you have to be better with routes. But Trevor Lawrence wasn't deterred. Did you hear him afterwards? He was like, wow.
Yeah.
He was just like,
where's the
we're talking about a desperate man.
Yeah. Too, he's got a lot of juice. He can run all day, a lot of energy. I love it. Always dapping guys up. In addition to talking about his ball skills, running after the catch, he's very explosive. Just didn't realize how explosive he was in and out of cuts. He's impressive to watch. We've gotten to connect a couple of times. He said he's only going to keep getting better and better. That's what the quarterback of the Jags said.
When they face the Texans, is that somebody that Derek Stingley has to lock up because of his raw ability, or can Kamari Lassiter, given his, you know, technique, tenacity, like, mm-hmm. I think Derek Stingley could shut this down.
Oh, yes.
But does it even need to go that far? Could Kamari handle this non-route running sun gun?
What's funny is my initial reaction is I think that he is a Kamari assignment rather than a Stingley assignment. However, the actual, like...
That was my first thought, just to say.
The words that Lawrence used, like, you notice the common factor was explosive is one of those things that keep coming up. And I hate to be the guy that keeps going back to the 40 times. However, that's the one thing that I go, is there a slight mismatch in that portion of this, where I understand and I love Kamari's ability to kind of read a situation and be able to diagnose it with his brain as opposed to just leaning on closing speed or what have you. But it might be a little bit more necessary in this particular.
Who would you stick him with?
I'd go with Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
Just take that guy out.
Hey, but you remember there's a guy named Brian Thomas Jr. who is a year deeper into this league, who I think is a little bit more crisp on those things that I think might require more attention.
No, they're both scary, but I'd rather just eliminate that dude.
But you see what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Whose skill set matches up better with whose, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And from a Texas standpoint, do you want just your all-out best corner against their all-out best wide receiver, or most proven wide receiver in Robinson, or like on the outside, or would you prefer whatever they're doing with Travis Hunter?
It's a good question. I think I'd still lean Derek Stingley.
And it's funny because I don't think that I would want Derek Stingley on Travis Hunter. I think that you have bigger fish to fry. And
I said Robinson, I meant Thomas.
BTJ. Yeah. But also, I do wonder, would that even rise to the occasion of we need to specify where these things go, or does that, you know, kind of lay in with what D'Amico has typically kind of let these guys do, which is play your sides, and we'll just deal with that accordingly wherever you guys line up.
Maybe that's the play.
Let Liam Cohen try and find the places for his guys to be and force the Texans into a place where they might have to actually, you know, man cover, or at least not man cover, but follow a little bit more, because I don't know that I'm in a place where I feel like the Texans would absolutely need to do that. So we'll see how that continues to progress. Obviously, the division rival that you'll see pretty early into the season, week 3 in Jacksonville is when you'll get your early taste of
what
that looks
like. I'm not
going
to let the internet make me not be excited about Travis Hunter. And Travis Hunter being in the division, the challenge that's up against the Texans, like I welcome this type of thing.
Sure, absolutely.
He hasn't played. He hasn't like started doing, you know, defense stuff in OTAs. I am also very interested. This is probably the reason also why I wouldn't want the Stingley there is I think that's still early enough where they're going to be trying to do the both ways things. He might be dog tired by the third quarter anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much I'm that worried about him as well in that place.
I don't envy their job here in trying to manage that because you have to try to maximize it, but you also don't want to mismanage it or misuse it.
Right.
Or wear him down, kind of to Reggie's point. Like, I'm fascinated by that just kind of from afar, aside from what they do against the Texans. How do they handle the Travis Hunter thing going both sides?
And I've been saying all along, you know, I think he's going to be mostly defense and occasionally offense. Hell, he might be mostly offense and occasionally defense.
And that's what I thought, too, at first, Lopez. And then the further along we got into the draft, and certainly now it seems like it's going to be that way, the other way around.
Yeah,
it definitely seems that way. Because I have become, in some ways, a Bengals hater, not the team itself, as the organization, really. I'm a hater of that organization, their cheapness, and all of those things that they entail. And it seems like it's continuing to show up as a weird first-round draft pick, at least by a lot of draft analysis standards. Shamar Stewart, talented guy, has not shown the production. And even still, the Bengals drafted him in the first round, and yet he's going to remain sidelined as offseason workouts continue, right? The OTAs begin anew today, and he's still not practicing and playing because of a disagreement over the contract language in the rookie deal. We're seeing teams get these rookie deals done up pretty, you know, consistently and easily. Shador Sanders, mind you, just signed his 4-year deal, the 5th-round pick. And yet Shamar Stewart still not getting involved off of his rookie deal, things that are fairly standard because something within the language is not right between these. I know where I stand. However, who do you blame here? Who is at fault in you guys' mind when it comes to this particular dispute? Because, again, these tend to be relatively standard, so you can maybe say it's Shamar. But also, I don't trust the Bengals as far as I can throw them.
Yeah, yeah. It's a question of who is bucking the standard. Like, mm-hmm. who is the one that's going against the grain here? Is it the Bengals or is like that? That I think is a key part of the question. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that, but it does make you wonder. Like, okay, it's a standard contract, and like, I don't think Shamar Sanders is in a spot to be like, you know, bucking the system or changing the old guard or anything mm-hmm. like that. So it does, if I'm going to lean one way or the other, it does make me think that the Bengals are trying to pull some shenanigans here. Now, I don't have no evidence of that.
Yeah.
But if I'm just basing it off of whose track record is which, mm-hmm. I'd go Bengals on the shenanigans.
You want to lean Bengals, but also Shamar Stewart is one of those guys that, you know, I've had questions, and he's an Aggie, and I love the Aggies and all that, but I've been around and seen him enough to think, hey, there's something there. I think the right answer is yes, both of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, it could be Stewart v. Bengals, and there's no protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so continue to just look at the Bengals and laugh at them. They need him to come through well, though. Like, obviously, they're still dealing with the Trey Hendrickson situation, mm-hmm. and just their defense needs a pass rush in order to be some level sustainable. And I guess from a Texas perspective, are you kind of rooting that this all falls apart? Because that might be the thing that keeps the Bengals a little bit under their capabilities, which might make it allow the Texans to jump them in the AFC kind of hierarchy there.
No, yes. I got you. Like, I think the question of, are the Bengals good? Like, we know Joe Burrow's good. We know who their great players are, mm-hmm. but are the Bengals themselves good? I think is his own question and is worth discussing. But I would also say, kind of going back to this thing, like, if I'm a Bengals fan, like, whose fault?
Bengals fans are blaming the Bengals.
Well, I would even say, even if we're blaming Stewart, mm-hmm. I'd say I'd blame, if I'm a Bengals fan, I'd blame the Bengals for drafting the guy that would take the salary.
Yeah,
like,
both of it.
Like, you went and grabbed the guy that's going to, mm-hmm. that's going to be hard to sign in a standardized contract.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not you that's trying to mess it up. Like, either way, it's on you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Some other things around the NFL, the Bears and Joe Thuney agreed to a big time extension. So they did the thing where they paid twice. Like, they went ahead and they acquired him, and then they also gave a big extension to the man. And how are you liking what the Bears have done here in their offseason?
I would ask, answer your question with another question, okay. which I know is kind of annoying.
Nah, I'm here for it.
But I'll just do this. I'll ask you this. Would you have done this? Would you have done the Joe Thuney move?
For the Texans, particularly.
Mm-hmm. Because this is why I ask, because I have monitored and watched what they've done along their offensive line all mm-hmm. offseason with some level of envy. I'm not saying I would have done every single move that they did, but I do feel like every single move they did is at least something that the Texans should have considered, or a road that they should have gone down. And maybe even at the very least, one of these things is something that the Texans could have pulled off.
So my immediate answer was no, because, hey, this is big money that you're paying this guy. And this is a Texas team that they're going to need to start being very cognizant mm-hmm. of the money that they're putting on their payroll, because there's a lot of guys that have gotten paid and a couple guys who are probably the two most important that need to get paid still when you talk about C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. And then I looked at it and I was like, actually, no, I would do this.
Yes.
Because what have we been talking about all offseason? We specifically, and not necessarily everybody, is the offensive line and the talent level that I would like to see on the offensive line. Yes, I agree with a lot of the kind of conversation and comments about the idea that there's possibility that so much of this was scheme, so much of this was the oversight of the offensive coordinator that allowed the offensive line to be as poor as it was last year. Agreed. If you get a different and probably better situation, you probably get better play. But you know what also helps better play? Better players.
Yes.
And I very much would. I don't feel great about the talent they put in there. Yes, I understand competition and everything. Joe Thuney is a dude that you drop into an offensive line and you go, okay,
well,
all right,
yeah.
we have a something to build upon. And with the contract extension, it basically makes it $17.5 million a year per season, and he would not be the highest paid offensive lineman on
this
team.
Well, here's the thing. The Bears had the exact same questions the Texans did. We got to protect our quarterback. they did it here, or they're doing it here, trying to anyway, but you still don't know for sure if you have a starter. Joe Thuney, you sign him, you know you got a starter. You know, I mean, he's started every game he's played in the NFL. So to me, it's like you lock up at least that position. Now, I know Cam Robinson, a lot of people are assuming, I am included, that he'll be a starter at left tackle. But like, if you get all the other positions, you don't know for sure. Like, yeah, you don't know who's going to be there. You wouldn't have that problem with Thuney.
Yeah, I would have done this. I've been watching, like I said, I've been watching the Bears the whole time with a little bit of Texans envy, wishing that they would have done, if not all of it, just at least some of it. At least if I felt like that these are the roads that they traveled, I don't feel that way. I don't know it for a fact, but I don't feel that way. I feel like the plan and what we saw or what we have seen is what they were trying to do, and I don't necessarily love it. But I will say this in their defense, like if I was going to argue the other side, we've seen the Texans throw money at the offensive line before and it not work.
Right.
You know, so like, and I'm not saying that that means don't throw money at the offensive line, but it does mean that it's not necessarily the answer. Mm-hmm. And I am willing to entertain the possibility that what they've done can work out. It just doesn't feel good as we sit here in mid to late May.
Right. And if you're willing to do the we'll trade away a future third round pick in order to be able to, you know, acquire this running back or what have you, like, I think that the double pay for the lineman, which I'm typically not here for the double pay for the lineman, except I looked up and I'm there.
Except this time.
Right, and obviously the...
Yeah, if you think they're good, if you think they'll answer, solve your problems, so to speak, right? Like, this was the question in the offseason, right? Going into the offseason. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like it's even more of a question than it was then.
It's at least an unknown.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that would be a known. That's why I would go there.
And he absolutely is known in a way that he also was playing positions that you did not anticipate him playing and handling it up pretty well. So, the Bears are going to be a very interesting one to watch this season. Now, it is worth noting that they are not in the same timeline with their quarterback. I appreciate the 832 mentioning you had to pay Stingley. You already have, but, you know, that money has not hit the books. All of these things are considerations that I'm sure they were talking about. But this one feels like it was downright possibly doable in the way that they got there. Of course, it's not what they did, and we'll see how what the Texans actually did pans out for them once we get these guys on the field for your Texans. All right, that's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, B. Scott's in tow. So what do we got for B. Scott's thoughts?
Oh yeah, we got Astros.
Okay, all right. We got thoughts.
No, we got thoughts. We got Jake Meyers' thoughts. Is Jake Meyers the best Astros player on the team right now?
Oh, that's fun. We'll do that next.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, man is in the studio. His name is Brandon Scott. He is from Hiram Clark. We just learned today that he was named after a soap opera character who we just did the digging. We found the character, we found the actor and all that. And apparently people are now blowing up my man's phone telling him that they also relate because they were named after some character, what have you. So we'll do a little impromptu question of the day. We'll keep that running. Who or what are you named after? 713-572-4610. But of course, it's still time for B. Scott's thoughts.
Yeah, no, apparently in the 70s and 80s, this was a common thing, naming your child after your favorite television or entertainment character of some sort. So, yeah, y'all make sure that y'all text those in. Now, listen, y'all were doing the segment earlier about who has saved the Astros bacon.
Yes.
And I know Tyler's got the poll out there. I forget the exact verbiage, but basically,
whose hot start have you enjoyed the most is basically what I saw.
Yeah, and so I think that there are three keys right now, or three things that I'd like to highlight for the Astros that's kind of kept them afloat so far.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is no less than the second or third best bullpen in baseball.
Correct.
I think has been a big part of, like, they're basically like something like 20-1 after seven innings or something like that. Like, they are incredible. The bullpen and of course the back end of the bullpen was a big reason why they were able to win last night.
So I
want to point that out. The other two I feel like we talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Pena. Like the rise of Jeremy Pena and just like how he's evolved as a hitter. Like, in some ways, like, if you threw this guy a slider in the past, he was basically an automatic out.
Yeah.
Couldn't hit it to save his life. Now he's a much more well-rounded and disciplined guy at the plate, and the adjustments that he's made to his swing have changed him as a player. So I'd point that out.
Mm-hmm.
But then the third one, and this is the one that I really wanted to get to. I saved the best for last. Are y'all ready for the Jake Meyers All-Star season?
Ooh.
For the Jake Meyers All-Star season. Now, I want to, just for the caveat here, I think we had a texter point out earlier in the show, and you read it, Reggie, how this is a thing that he did last year in May, and this could be a flash in the pan. Let's see how long this thing actually sustains itself. How long can Jake Meyers actually do this?
Mm-hmm.
But as of where we sit right now, okay, he is top three in WAR among center fielders, Fangraphs WAR among center fielders.
So only
two center fielders are better than this guy, according to Fangraphs. And that's hitting.
Yeah.
And then on defense, there are only two center fielders that have a higher outs above average or runs prevented than Jake Meyers. So what I'm saying is, he is no less right now on both hitting and defensively, no less than the third best center fielder in all of baseball right now as we sit here on May 20th. Now, will that be the case once we get through June, once we get through July? Time will tell, obviously, as they say. But as we sit right here, right now, part of the reason why the Astros are able to stay afloat is because a bunch of unexpected things happened and have compensated for each other.
Well,
Yordan Alvarez is nowhere to be found. His hands hurt like it's 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Jake Meyers has finally found it. We finally have seen what everybody else in the Astros organization has supposedly seen in Jake Meyers all of this time.
Look, he was my pick. You heard the segment. You know, I think Jake Meyers is the one that's really saved their bacon. Also, Paredes, we have to throw him in there too.
Yeah, he's been the most like
steady.
I would say like what you were expecting. He's probably been
saved their bacon. So
he's been better defensively than you probably thought, but he's been, I think, exactly the player that I was expecting him to be. I just thought that what he was coming into, what was around him, was going to be a lot.
The interesting thing is the All-Star candidacy. Neither one of us mentioned that. I think it's out there if he continues what he's doing. But you got some big names at center field. You know, you've got some big names in the American League at center field. So that might be a little bit of a big ask.
The only center fielders right now with a higher F WAR, Fangraphs WAR, and not to get too Reggie on you guys, but wins above replacement, I think, is an accepted enough advanced stat for most people to kind of consume. The only ones better in center field than Jake Meyers right now are Pete Crow Armstrong for the Chicago Cubs, who's playing out of his mind. He's got a case for right now being the best in all of baseball. Pete Crow Armstrong and Byron Buxton.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about Byron Buxton, I love him as a player, but it would be an incredible season if he managed to make it to All-Star without getting hurt.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And I say that with, like, so if you're really doing the All-Star thing, now,
them,
of course.
And them's just the facts.
Right. Yeah. I legitimately, if he stayed healthy, he would be much higher regarded than he is. And he's already pretty beloved as a center fielder. So, like, you got, like, Julio Rodriguez in a similar place. And he's going to get love off of his name and then also being a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Cody Bellinger is tracking behind him. And, I mean, Cody Bellinger has a big name, and he's obviously on a huge fan base. So, I wonder how that that plays. Maybe you get into, like, a Cedric Mullins place, Riley Green. But all those guys.
All bigger names.
Yeah,
bigger,
that's the problem.
Bigger names. But I would like to again point out, everybody that you just named is behind Jake Meyers right now. Like, I'm just talking about right now.
Agreed.
Not reputation, not your entire campaign or the entire campaign of your career, right? I'm talking about 2025 right now.
No, I get it.
The only ones that have a case for being better than him are Pete Crow Armstrong and I think that's really it, because Byron Buxton, like you say, he's got the, you know, the injury thing. He's,
well, not only does
Jake
he have
Myers
the injury
right
thing,
there defensively.
He is on his injury thing. May 17th, placed on the 7-day IL. He had a concussion.
See, I missed that.
I missed that as well.
I missed that.
It'll be Julio Rodriguez, though, from the fan vote. And I'm not saying I don't want, because I agree with your premise.
No, you're probably right.
You know, it would probably, you know, he's got 8 home runs, 730 OPS, 725, something like that. But not the batting average.
Because if you're not an Astros fan, then you've got to be in the sticks to even know who Jake Myers is.
Correct.
Right.
And so he's going to need to, one, the Astros will have to like be better, let's be honest, right? If you're playing better, I feel like people will catch a little bit more of the wind of what's happening here, but it's going to have to be more than a May thing. Like, you're going to have to show out in June as well. And that's the big question, like, outside of this. All of this that we're talking about is projecting forward, assuming that he keeps doing this. And that assumption, at least based off of what we saw last year, is not one that you can absolutely have. But, I mean, I think we can appreciate what he's done to this point on its face. And it has been really, really good, and it's been really needed. We were talking about something in the break after that segment, which is, and I wish you had brought it up during it, because I think it's such a good point, right? We could talk about the statistics and the way that they look. But can we talk about the eye test? Because he just looks so damn confident stepping
he
into
really
the box
does.
Right now.
Yeah. When he steps into the box, and that's not even to mention, you know, potential Gold Glove outfield right now.
Yeah, which has always been there. Or at least for sure since last year has been there.
But he steps into the box, and I was like comparing and contrasting, and I swear I'm not piling on. You guys know how I feel about Altuve. He was like flailing, not unsure in the batter's box. Myers gets up there and goes, all right, what you got? You know, what's coming?
And what honestly, up, PC? Hope you get some good rest in, brother.
And honestly, I wish I was around the clubhouse as much as I used to be, or a little bit more, to kind of get a sense for this, because I wonder how much of it for Jake Myers is just a matter of being more healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, after coming back from the labrum or from the shoulder issue that he had back in 2021, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it seems like he just never really became like figured it out or became the same guy. Now, we're significantly enough removed from that now to where, like, that, I feel like it's not affecting him at all.
Right.
And how much has that helped his, not just his physical performance, but his actual confidence, to your point, Lopez?
So let's do the Sean Pendergast Power Rank All-Star candidates.
On this Houston Astros team. All right. The tough part is that.
It's got to be Pena?
All-Star candidates?
Oh, Hunter Brown.
All-star candidates are all
pitchers.
Relatives.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but
So I was going to say. So
position players.
Position players, it had to be Pena and then Jake Myers.
Right.
And I think Jake Myers has a case for being right, really, honestly being right there, because of the center field and shortstop being the most important or more important positions out there. I think they're right there neck and neck. So I got one more thought before we got here.
Yeah, man.
What's popping? Because since I mentioned Jordan Alvarez earlier. You guys. Yo,
yeah.
What the hell is going on? Like, this, you know what it's making me think of? And a lot of people probably have forgotten about this because they ended up winning the damn World Series that year.
You love to see it.
But Jordan Alvarez in 2022 had serious, what felt like serious but odd and mysterious hand issues, because he had multiple IL stints.
Yeah.
And not just that. And I think a lot of people forgot about it, of course, because they won the World Series. Jordan had some
monster
postseason and World Series moments that make you think, like, okay, well, what hurt hands?
Yeah.
I remember joking about it, though, that year, saying, man, the man hits the ball so damn hard, his hands hurt. How amazing is that? But then you fast forward and going into spring training the next year, he was slow to get into a rhythm and slow to get out there because he was still having lingering hand issues from the year before. And I remember that year they decided not to do any kind of surgery.
Yeah.
And just feeling like, I remember the word back then was that they didn't feel like it was necessary. It's like, all right, cool, bet, let's roll.
Yeah.
Now we fast forward. That's now 2 years ago, because we're going into the 2023 season at that point. Now we fast forward 2 years later, and I'm like, what's up with these hands hurting again and hand inflammation? Like, I wish I just understood this a little bit.
The thing that's alarming to me is when you think about the natural progression of a player coming off the IL, he's behind the curve. If he's just hitting off a tee and there's still pain, he should be a lot further along. If he was, you know, he was scheduled to come off May 13th, it's now May 20th. He should be like taking live BP and, you know, stuff like that. And he's just hitting off a tee?
Yeah. And I don't want to get into the weeds of the medical, but like this has happened enough now. I'm like, okay, so hand inflammation. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what is the source of that? What is the reason for that? Without having to take me to medical school, can you explain that to me? Why it is that this guy hands hurt all the time.
Yeah, because inflammation, at that point, we're talking about a symptom and not what is the actual cause.
Correct.
And when we do that, when the Astros particularly do that, the cause is usually something that is really deeply troubling, whether it's a fracture or what have you. So, no, that's a great point. But unfortunately, we are at the mercy of what they are willing to tell us, right? Or maybe what they know, which I don't, again, whenever these come
or
up,
both.
I never know what is more scary, the idea that maybe they know and they won't tell us, or maybe the idea that they flat out don't know. But either way, this is where we are. Yes, Ocho, I see you calling him Kawhi Alvarez. I get it, okay? I hear you. Fine. 713-572-4610, where people have been letting us know what they are named at, what they have been named after. As we found out that Brandon Scott was indeed named after a soap opera character. That is, in a way, what is popping. We'll talk about that and more next.
I am sorry. You lied to me day after day, week after week, month after month. It was all because of Reva, wasn't it? You told me that I was your son to keep me away from your wife.
She was slipping away from me. I had to do something.
So you decided to play dirty. You lied and you cheated.
I had to. You're young. You're everything she ever wanted.
Everything that you didn't want Reva to have.
No, no, no. You don't understand, boy.
Whoa.
I was looking at the grave. That woman brought me to life.
And it's acting.
That's Kyle Sampson.
Oh, is that what it
that's
is?
Kyle yeah, that's
the character Kyle Sampson from Guiding Light, who we have found. That is where the K in Brandon K. Scott comes from.
Yeah.
You're just named after all. Your mama really loved her stories.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, man, that's what the women's did back in the day. They watched them stories, and they were inspired.
I just love the description on this video. It said, Kyle confronts HB about the big lie.
The big lie, not just any lie.
The big lie.
Wow. Big lie.
I'm so glad my son is not able to listen right now. He would be so embarrassed to know this is basically where his name comes from, right?
So that's him.
He's named after
his daddy.
But that's not
his concern.
But if you do a multi-episode origin story on his name, which would be incredibly boring,
his daddy,
it would take you here.
His daddy was named after this Kyle.
Wild.
That is
you should have been a bad actor.
It's so funny. I could have been. I absolutely could have been.
With minimal effort, in fact.
The funny thing about it is like, is this all I had to do to live up to my name?
Yeah.
You're named after
two soap opera stars.
Yes.
So there's
that is incredible.
A soap combo, Brandon Kyle. But that I feel like explains a lot. It's like, how did this guy get to be named Brandon Kyle? Like, you look at me,
and
you're like, how are you Brandon Kyle?
This is true.
Because my mama watched soap
and
opera.
And it's from the same soap opera?
Yes.
The same one.
Guiding Light.
Two different people?
Yeah. Guiding Light.
Loyal to the soil there. Some other folks that texted in. Appreciate y'all listening and getting involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. From the 832, they said their moms had a crush on Emilio Estevez, thus they are named Emilio. Somebody said they were named after Adam Cartwright from Bonanza.
Somebody said they
were named after a character in a romance novel. I want to know how your daddy felt about that one. somebody else said that they were named after the King of Spain.
All right, I like that one.
Parents named them Morocco after the movie Casablanca. I don't appreciate that you said Lopez is old. He knows that movie.
Well, I know the movie.
It's a classic. What
I
you mean?
I know the movie, but it was before my time.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm still tripping off of Adam Cartwright.
Yeah. So, wow.
I bet his friend's probably...
Well, that also speaks to the person who said their name is Merlin. They always get wizard jokes. I don't even know if they were named after Merlin, but they are Merlin in that place. All right.
There's a study out there that'll show you all of the... kind of keeping it with the Texans here, all of the Jalen's born after the Fab Five run.
It's a lot.
Like, that's when you get, and I understand that there are so many different variations of the spelling.
Yeah.
But you get this influx of Jalen's post 92, 93.
I looked it up. On the air, we looked it up. It was 92.
Yeah.
After 92.
And now they are everywhere, including in about 50 spots on the Texans roster.
Yeah.
Huge. Named after Blake Carrington, an actor. Son is Riley, named after Pat Riley. Wife picked it, didn't argue. Okay. I feel like we're learning things about y'all's mamas in a way that I didn't anticipate.
I would be a little offended.
Really?
Yeah. Like, don't name my son after another guy you like. I don't give a damn if he a celebrity.
What you gonna do about it? All right, what is recourse in this instance?
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Hey,
That's a little wild.
We coming up with another name.
That's a little much.
Ain't that hard.
All right.
Figgy, I've been there on the naming front,
yeah,
and the work that mama's doing, in terms of getting the baby here, that naming is one that you're gonna concede that one.
plus, take it up with Brandon's mom. She was all about Brandon and Kyle from Guiding Light. Yeah. So you ain't gonna win that.
So my question is, did your daddy know about that?
So plot twist.
Or they know afterwards.
Plot twist. My dad, first name, and my mom could not name her son this in 1989. I don't think. Mm-hmm. Dad's first name is Barney. How would y'all feel about bringing Barney on every week?
Barney K. Scott.
So my mama wouldn't do. So what would you rather? Barney Jr.
Got the Barney song?
Or Brandon from God in Light?
Yeah.
It's close enough.
Mom made the right decision.
Now look, but he was named Barney in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that was like a different era in time. Mm-hmm. But in 89. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go ahead and go God in Light.
That and Barney Miller.
Yeah. My dad wouldn't fight. Now, he's smarter than that.
I don't even know what the nickname would be to try and get you out of Barney. Like, I can't even find the cool nickname off of Barney.
You can still go with B. Scott, right?
B. Scott. No, seriously, that's where it comes from.
That's where Pops gave you B. Scott.
Pops was a Houston police officer for 30 years, so shout out to him. But on his badge, it says B. Scott.
All right.
And okay. So that's where I adopted B. Scott from my dad's name. On his badge.
Was Barney Scott.
B. Scott.
All right, man.
Yeah. That's his name.
That is indeed a thing that is popular.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Dad. He has no shame about this, by the way. Yeah. I told you, born in 56, he cares nothing about what any of us think. You can relate to this, Lopez. You get to a certain age, you're like, man, I don't give a damn what y'all talking about.
It is really and truly the thing that I look forward to getting older, I always say, is being able just to accost young people. Because, you know, when an old person start talking to you, you just got to stand. You can't just walk away from an old person.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I can't wait to be like, back in 87, right? I wasn't even born in 87, but I feel like a young one just got to listen,
right?
You
would do it, yeah.
So I feel like that's where your pops.
Back in 2005.
That's where your pops is.
Yeah, Barney seemed way too much to care about what anybody got to say.
Entirely, I guess a man who seems like he does not care about what anybody got to say. Have y'all seen Juan Soto out here shuffling?
Man.
Like, and of course, it really got highlighted in the worst way. Obviously, he decided to spurn the New York Yankees offer, which is technically a lesser offer, but a big offer nonetheless to go cross town to the Mets, and the Yankees have decided that they hate that man. Well, they were playing, and Juan Soto has just been getting destroyed for not running out, not legging out runs to first.
It was an infield hit.
Yeah.
You know, not tracking down baseballs that seems like he could be caught in the outfield. Admittedly,
man,
he's not a great outfielder.
I rutted it out. Man, not even it would be a stretch to call that jogging. Man, you called it shuffling. He could have shuffled. Yeah. Cha-cha slide, bunny hopped, any of that, man. He didn't do none of the line dances. Yeah. He didn't electric slide. He didn't do nothing to try to get to first base. That was worth a damn.
And the other thing is, like, twice in 3 days.
My goodness, you know, man.
He got to go by Juan Soto.
I see what you did there.
Last night.
Give it to him.
Yeah. He hit one off the Green Monster that he thought was out.
Yeah.
And got a single.
But the boy's got his own money.
Yeah. And that's why it's even more problematic, man. You make $700 million. You gotta give me something, bro.
You gotta at least run.
You
would think $700 million would get a player that could run.
One would imagine. And so he's getting so where do you guys, I feel like we're all in the same place here, which is it just can't be this.
It can't be this. You gotta run.
Yeah, I mean,
run.
Easy for me to say.
That's not asking too much.
I got almost $1 billion, man. I don't run.
You want me to break a sweat?
I'm
here to hit home runs.
Wasn't in Major League, the guy that had all the money? What do you want me to do, die for it?
Yeah. Juan Soto looks like the guy that wants a pinch runner in mid-run. Mm-hmm. Like, don't wait for me to get on base. Ball hit the bat.
The old Babe Ruth thing. Remember when he was with the Braves, they had a runner for him? He would hit the ball and somebody else would run?
Yeah. Soto's like, why not? Why not me?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Juan Soto is a huge fan of, what was it, Jahlil Okafor, who was out here. He's like, I get paid for offense.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute now.
You get paid for offense. All right.
If that thing don't hit the outfield, man, I'm not doing nothing.
That's funny. He's been dealing with that. Some other things that are happening around sports, though. USC and Notre Dame are a very interesting place here because I know that you were seeing this, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that rivalry might go bye-bye, which is really wild because I think it speaks to the state of college sports.
Yes.
Because that rivalry is not just one of these regional ones that is kind of being lost in the shuffle of, conference realignment, right? Like Washington State versus USC or what have you. This one is being lost. This is a rivalry that dates back to when
1920s.
Like, yeah, man, yeah. We're keeping this thing. We're keeping these programs alive, right? This mattered in a long way. But Lincoln Riley was basically asked about it, and I don't have the exact quote, so I apologize for this, but he basically got to the place where he's like, "Look, man, this is a tough schedule, and we're going to do what we need to do, and we'll basically see what it is." Not saying the thing, but in a way saying, in essence, in the way that I interpret it, there's no need to add an unconscionably difficult opponent outside of what is already a difficult schedule in the Big Ten if it's not going to merit us anything on the back end when it comes to selection for the playoff.
I don't even think it's about the difficulty. I really don't. I think they would both embrace another, you know, that kind of game for their case. I think it's as simple, and this is why I think it's vastly different from A&M in Texas. That is 90 miles away. You know, that is a very regional, you're right there, you should be playing every year type thing. When you are in the Big Ten now and you're traveling to Nebraska and Iowa and all these other places, I think it's travel. Like, you don't need another one of those in your life, you know, if you're USC.
Yeah. I actually hadn't thought about the travel aspect of it. Like, for me, I just kind of fixate on how different it is what college sports in general, especially college football, as we're talking about it right now. Like, it's just what it is, the essence of it, and what it's all about is just so much different today than it was in, say, the 1920s when this rivalry was first established, right? So, like, it's just, like, it's still about the institutions, but it's far less about the institution versus the institution as much as it is about each one of them running their own race to success. How much money can we make? What can be our next distribution or television distribution deal? Like, how do we ascend from here? Or in some cases, in some programs' cases, how do we keep from falling back? How do we stay afloat? Like, with whatever it is your lot in life is as a program, you're trying to figure that out much more than you are trying to figure out how do I hold on to tradition and rivalries and what ultimately amounts to pomp and circumstance in a bottom line business today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's such a wild, and all of that also, the backdrop of that is they're currently trying to figure out how this entire model, not even just like the entire landscape, what it looks like going forward, because there are multiple things on the governmental level that are shifting as we speak when it comes to trying to figure out if the NCAA house settlement is going to be agreed upon, if this presidential kind of commission is going to come to fruition, and what kind of recommendations they might bring up, whether those recommendations will be implemented and how they will. There's so much that's going on in this college football space, or college sports space as well. I mean, it's not just football that's affected by this. So very, very interesting things happening, and it might, the loss of some rivalries might be a part of that as well. Let me see, one more thing.
The point that Lopez made about travel, though, like, that's one that does tie in.
No, I think that's as much as anything. They have at least three games of 1,500 miles of travel.
But think about it.
Without Notre Dame.
Go with the 2 points that we just made here, though. Like, why are they traveling? Why are they in the Big Ten? Right? Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is more, those things are more important than, hey, this symbolic relationship that we've got with Notre Dame or with US, between Notre Dame and USC. It's, hey, we travel now more because we need to be a part of this conference and with these networks and get this money.
I mean, it stinks,
but it's reality.
But it's reality. Yeah.
Hey, man, it's all professional sports, man. And making that money is ultimately the end all be all for that. Western Conference finals start tonight, 7:30 p.m. You got Timberwolves. You got Thunder. Who y'all got in this series and game?
Yeah.
Everybody's trending with Minnesota. I'm thinking I'm going to go with KC, man.
Yeah, so I've been Thunder all along, so I'm just going to stand on business, so to speak. I thought that the Thunder, when we got to the semis, I thought that the Thunder was the surest thing. They ended up being the last ones to punch their ticket to the conference finals. So I was wrong on that part, but I'm going to still go with the Thunder as the surest thing out of the last eight, and certainly now out of the last four.
Yeah, and they got taken to seven against a Nuggets team that had seven games in both of their series. Aaron Gordon, at the conclusion of that last series, he was kind of lamenting the spacing of these games. I know that you might be chuckling there, listener, considering how the NBA playoffs seems to carry on forever. Yeah. But he was lamenting how you go seven games and you get one day off in order to get to this next game. And even between games, Now, because of this, like, it's every other night. There's not a additional day for recovery in addition to travel. Do you agree with his assertion here that you need that for the health and safety of players and the quality of game?
Yeah, I don't think there's a question about it. I think that what we're doing, we are rushing it, I think, for programming and for television and all that. But, yeah, I mean, if I were in his position, if I were in his shoes, and what a badass, by the way, to go out there and play that game seven with a bad hammy and the playoffs great that he two. Had mm-hmm. to get – yeah, grade two. Whew. And before that, obviously, the performance that he was having really all year, but especially in these playoffs, the two-game winners, just the two-game winners that he had that were in dramatic fashion, but also just his overall play. Like, he gave it his all out there. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I think he's making a solid argument here. Hey, we could stand to get more rest if you want a more quality product. We got guys dropping like flies in the NBA, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an issue, so it's something that they're going to have to look at.
I don't know if I'm on an island here. I don't know where you stand, Reggie. I am not with him on this. I think this is something that is the norm in the regular season, could be the norm in the postseason. Get one day. It's not back-to-back. They're not playing back to back.
But look, they're not going to shorten. It's either this or shorten the regular season, which is I think is off the table.
Well, that I could get down with.
I would get down with that too, but I feel like that's off the table. Yeah. So since that's off the table, go ahead and be more considerate with this schedule, which I think you have a little bit more leeway with.
I think the tough part about that is that now we are moving this thing into where you're playing well into July to circle this thing back around. Like, I just, this feels like an impossible win on any side of this solution. I think that what you have right now is probably the best, you know, balance besides what is the right answer that you just brought up, which is take less money and ultimately end up in a situation where you have less regular season games.
You know, you could sell me on July basketball.
That is fair.
Like, that's not going to be a,
I mean, hell, like, I'm surprised why they haven't like jumped on the idea more and like actually shift that schedule a little bit further into start at Christmas and take it further into summer where you're only really competing against basketball or against baseball, which even then, I think there's a little bit space for you. So, I don't know. We'll see how that continues to go. But B. Scott, Brandon Kyle Scott.
Always fun.
Always appreciate you sitting in with us. Very, very interesting. In
salute fact, to Barney, too.
Yeah
man.
We're going to start calling you Barney on the low.
Barney holding it down. Hey, we have no shame.
No shame whatsoever.
We have no shame to the Scott family, the B. Scott family. There you go. No shame, not at all.
There you go. All right. In the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. If things had gone a little differently, would the Astros still have won the World Series? A couple of kind of nuggets audio-wise that we've heard. And I kind of want to circle back around to what B. Scott was talking about with Astros All-Stars. We'll do both of those next.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.